Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, en podcast från Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health. I den här podden samtalar vi med specialister från olika områden inom hästmedicinen. Med det gemensamt att de delar vår och din passion för hästarna. Hej och välkommen tillbaka till Hästveterinärerna, podden för dig som är veterinär eller djursjukskötare och jobbar med häst. I den kommande serien avsnitt lyssnar vi på ett samtal som min kollega Gorm Carson hade med Fredrik Nielsen på Høygård Hestehospital i Aarhus i Danmark. Han berättar för oss om senskador och ligamentskador med fokus på rehabiliteringen av de här. I första avsnittet här berättar Fredrik om sig själv och sin bakgrund och om patienterna som han möter i sin vardag på kliniken. Så vi tar och lyssnar in på samtalet mellan Gorm och Fredrik.
Hello everybody and a warm welcome to this podcast about tendon and ligament rehabilitation. My name is Gorm Carson. I'm a vet and a former equine practitioner. Now I'm working for Boehringer Ingelheim. And I'm pleased to be joined here today by Fredrik Nielsen, who is also a veterinarian. He's a managing veterinarian at Højgaard Equine Clinic in Aarhus in Denmark, and also the team vet for the National Dressage Team. Fredrik, welcome to this podcast about rehabilitation, and thank you for taking the time to share some of your thoughts and insights with us here today. Could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Indeed, and hello, and thank you for inviting me here. I hope we can make some interesting talks here, and I hope some of the listeners can have some good points out of it. First myself, I am originally from, here Denmark, closer to Copenhagen. I grew up in a true vet family. Both my parents are vets. So literally the vet clinic of theirs was just next from the kitchen. So I just had to go through the door. Then I was there. Secondly, in my family, we have interest for horses, so we are four children, and the three of us did a lot of riding. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was show jumping. So I did a lot of show jumping while being a pony rider and a junior, yeah. And not top level, but I did national level and a few national shows and some national championships as well. Perfect. And then then after high school ending, then I went 1 year to Germany. Yeah. Worked there as a rider, mm-hmm. And then coming back, starting vet school, finishing in 2012, and then after that, I first did half a year at my parents' practice, yeah. Before leaving to Belgium to a clinic called De Bostreff or Equine Hospital, where I did a rotating internship, so getting familiar with all the different parts of equine veterinary world. Or at least what was possible there. A great experience and taught me a lot. Then I went back to Denmark and started working for Højgaard Equine Hospital, where I at first worked as an assistant for Jonas Rasmussen, one of the main orthopedic vets there, and who has been for sure and is still one of my big mentors and one of the big parts of why I think I am in the position I'm lucky to be in today.
Yeah.
I worked there as an assistant for half a year or a little bit longer and then started working in the field. And then gradually over the years, I then got to work more and more with Orthopedia. And in 2015, we then started a new branch of the Højgaard Equine Clinics. And we started off here in Jutland, where we then made the clinic in Aarhus. Yeah. And then I was probably the youngest and the easiest one to move. So I was then asked to move to Aarhus and I did. Yeah. And I worked there ever since. And since 2018, I then became a partner there. And now I'm only working then with Orthopedia and pre-purchase exams, more or less.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, since 2017, I've been the team vet for the Danish dressage team. My first show was the European Championship in Gothenburg. Yeah. Quite spectacular show they had up there. And then I've been along ever since, which has also been a real eye-opener and a perfect way to travel around and see really the top level of sport horses, how they compete and the management that is kept around them to keep them sound and fit to perform at highest level.
Yeah. So you started out as being a show jumper and worked, did your internship in Belgium, I guess, with a lot of show jumpers as well. Is it just by coincidence that you worked yourself into dressage now, or is that been a plan? Or
It is actually a funny thing, and I know it's not been a true plan. It has been more coincidental episodes that had made this change. First of all, as I came back to Denmark and working for as an assistant for Jonas, Jonas was before also the teammate for the Danish dressage team and also the show jumpers actually. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of clients within the dressage world in Denmark. Yeah. And we must also say that maybe in Denmark, not to offend the show jumpers, but the dressage world is a little bit bigger maybe.
Yeah.
And I think just, you know, the clients you get as a vet is also a little bit based on word spreading. And then as I came with Jonas in a lot of dressage stables, I then also later on did some dressage horses and now is the team vet for the dressage team. Then I have also maybe a majority of my clients being within the dressage world.
Okay.
So it's not, originally I was myself a show jumper, but yeah, it's a little bit then peculiar that actually I'm now working more with dressage horses.
Yeah. So in your day-to-day work, your mass of patients would be from both show jumpers and from dressage horses.
Yeah, in general, I would say that maybe 90% is warm blood horses in general. Then yeah. I see some Icelandic horses, yeah. Only very, very few racehorses. And then within the population of warm blood, yeah, then I would say it's probably a majority of dressage horses, but also quite a big part of show jumpers. Eventers, here in Denmark, eventing is not really big and it's very rare that I see any eventers.
Yeah.
So that's probably my population of clients and patients, yeah.
But you almost only do orthopedics now, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Since the last, years 3-4, maybe it is really only orthopedic or pre-purchase exams that I'm involved with.
Yeah. So if we look a little bit to come back to the topic of today's podcast again. How frequently would you say that you come across a tendon and or a ligament injury?
I think it's very dependent on your population of cases. Now yeah. I've said that it's a warm blood and especially dressage and show jumpers, and there for sure it is a quite frequent problem. I would say within the, let's say just the dressage horses, but also the jumpers, no doubt that if we take one thing out, that suspensory ligament injuries is one of the main problems, and especially because it can be at some point even not just a temporary injury that you get past, but it can also even end to the point where it's career ending or yeah. difficult to manage. So it is more and more frequent. It can also be, of course, we also do some referral work and some of the more standard things that you know a joint treatment and so on has maybe been tried at a different locality before. Mm-hmm. So when they come to us, it's often soft tissue injuries. Yeah. In a lot of the cases, yeah. I cannot say certain numbers, it's more and more frequent that it's a soft tissue injury that yeah. we look at than a true joint issue.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know there are a lot of concerns related to tendon injuries, but what would be your main concern when you diagnose one of these injuries? If we look at the tendon first.
Yeah. If we compare it to, let's say, joint issues in horses, yeah. I would say that we have quite high, of course, we can have some joint issues where it's also very difficult, especially if we have cartilage image defects and injuries. Mm-hmm. They can be really difficult to handle as well. But in general, joint issues, in my opinion, often they are with proper treatments, we can get them faster back in the sport.
Yeah.
And they are also, for most cases, I would say, easier to handle and prevent them from being career ending.
Yeah.
Whereas, as I also said before, with the tendon issues and especially the suspensory ligament, but also if we have deep digital flexor tendon issues or superficial digital flexor tendon issues, they can at some point be difficult to manage. And especially the reoccurrences of injuries can be a problem in the long run that can make it difficult to keep them in the sport and can be career ending at some point. So that's, I think, that's one of the issues. And then another thing that's tricky with tendon and also ligament issues is that often the time frame is longer.
Yeah.
So it can be more difficult to keep the owner or the rider dedicated and motivated through the period, because it's, as I said, with some of the joint issues, often it's a couple of treatments, and if you do good, you keep them, you get them relatively fast back to riding. And that's more easy for them to overcome. Whereas with the tendon and ligament issues, often it's first a prolonged period of relative rest with, we will probably get back to that with some controlled exercises, before you even then get to the point where you start the rehab. And the rehab for tendon and ligament issue must be, in my experience and opinion, much more prolonged compared to joint rehabs, because here you will need, during the rehab, you will have a remodeling phase of the previous injury. So the tissue that you have that's kind of grown in is not perfectly aligned in the tendon or ligament. So therefore, that will be partially corrected during a remodeling phase, and that will take place during the rehab. So it's important that the rehab is quite prolonged. So in overall, for the tendon and ligament issues, it's a much longer period. And as I said initially, and I understand sometimes the riders and the owners, it can be difficult to be positive during such a prolonged period.
Keep them motivated, as you said before.
Yeah. So there can be some, where if the motivation goes down, it's difficult to get them to do all the walks with the horse and all that, which is really crucial to get the positive outcome, but can be difficult to get the owners and riders to do.
Yeah, because it takes so much time.
Yeah. I've luckily in my past, and that's where I do believe that I use a part of my past as also being a rider, and I also had lame horses when I did a lot of riding. And I truly remember, the first, the first month of taking the horse out, cleaning, doing walk exercises, for half an hour or 45 minutes a day, that went pretty okay. Yeah. But then when you get past that month, it gets more and more difficult. And during summer, it's maybe also easier. During winter, it's a little bit more tricky. And I totally understand the difficulties of keep being motivated through these prolonged periods.
Yeah.
But it's just really crucial to get the most optimal outcome that we all wish in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, so the time frame is difficult in keeping people motivated, as you mentioned, and then you just mentioned the recurrence injury rate as well as being challenging. I guess that's part of it as well.
Yeah, indeed. So for sure, we do know that, so we can, with good treatment, good rehab, we can get strong tendons again. But I think we must all see that it's not getting back to maybe 100% strength as the original tissue. So we are at some levels below, and that of course makes it more likely that you will have re-injuries. And actually often what I see is that it's maybe not necessarily a re-injury at the exact same location, but more in the borders of the previous injury. So what I believe is that the injured, the first injury, then you have a healing, and the healed tissue there, even after the remodeling phase, will maybe not have just the same elasticity as the original tissue. So at the border from the healed tissue to the original tendon, you will have a difference in elasticity. And therefore, that's when you have a difference, a border with difference in elasticity, that will always be a point that will be weaker. So that's always a new point for a new injury. So that's often what I see, is that actually an injury can kind of move its way along a tendon.
So due to the invasion of the scar tissue of the original injury, you see re-injuries just proximal or distal to the original injury, so to speak.
We tend to see that a lot. And I believe that, the scar tissue is, and therefore also a big goal of tendon and ligament injuries when you have, you know, true fiber injuries, is for sure to try to decrease the amount of scar tissue within the heel tissue that will be lasting for long afterwards.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, thanks for this this conversation, Fredrik, and I'll just leave it for that for now. And we will, in the next podcast, touch ground on the superficial digital flexor tendon and go into more details there.
Tack för att du lyssnar på Hästveterinärerna. Om du gillar det du hör, glöm inte att trycka prenumerera i din podcast-app så att du inte missar några avsnitt. Berätta också gärna om vad du tycker genom att ge en recension. Vi tar gärna emot tips på kommande gäster och ämnen, och våra kontaktuppgifter finns i poddens beskrivning.